Thank you so much, Ron, for opening. And again, good afternoon, everybody. Good evening. It's good to have you with us. And we will get back into Colossians. We got one verse left in chapter 1. And then we'll start on chapter 2. So it seems like it's been a long time in Colossians already, but there's so much here that needs to be understood and talked about that we continually need this to take our time and, as the old boy says, get her done. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to go back and do it just like we've been doing it. We're going to do it out of the King James Version, and I'll read my notes, and then we'll do it out of the Koine Greek from Jack's Workman's Interlinear, and then we'll read Jack's notes and then look at the scripture that goes with it. So that gives you, that gives us a pretty good idea of the way all this comes about, and gives us some understanding as to how you know, these things were put down for us, that we need to heed them and use them in that sense. And so tonight's study is study 95, in our study that we had first started off with the word wisdom, and then we added Jack's interlinear to it and made it wisdom plus the workman's interlinear. And I think it's been a real blessing to me to be able to put the time in it and to do this. So we're going to go back and we're going to read 28, and then we'll do 28 and 29, and then we'll start with our study in 29. But talking about Christ, he said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect there. And 28, there, the perfect, we talked about that just a little bit. Complete. Every man complete or perfect in Christ Jesus. And then verse 20 was whereunto Paul says, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So Paul continues on with the understanding that this thing that he has been given is a lifetime work. It's for him. It's going to finish his life. He's going to finish his life doing just this. And so the word vocation is only used one time. And so this was Paul's vocation, and it should be our vocation, because this was written for our use and for our learning and for our purpose to explain the mystery to other people. And that's what we're trying to do here. And this verse is going to wind up being the end of the first chapter of Colossians. So we said, he says, whereunto I also labor, or unto which time I labor also. In my notes, it says, striving or to struggle with or agonize, because every time after Paul was stricken blind on the Damascus Road. Every situation that he was in, it seemed to be a dire need or a dire situation that Paul was in. But God would continually rescue him or bring him back to life or whatever he needed done for that. So, you know, to struggle with something or to agonize over something is kind of normal for Paul's situation. But for us, we don't quite have it that bad. But certainly Paul was filling up that was left behind of that Christ didn't get to do when he was here on the earth. He said, according to or like as his working or his strength or his energy, speaking of Christ Jesus and his strength and energy, he says, which worketh in me mightily or by his might. And there's two, three places that we need to look at there, but let's go to the Koine Greek with this last verse. And it says this in the Koine Greek, brought down to the English. It says, unto which also I labor striving, according to the working of him, of the works in me, excuse me, in power. And he bring it on down to the more modern English. It says, unto which also I labor, striving according to his working of the works in me in power. And then Jack's version of his notes. And he says that Paul does not just put in time as on a 9-to-5 job. That was not the way it worked then, and it shouldn't be the way it works now, because it says he labors continuously. Paul was familiar with the athletic contest of the day and the training which goes into these contests. So these words are the words used to refer to such training and efforts. The power of God emerges when he says, striving according to his working. His working is beyond human ken. You can't do what you do and look at what God has done and compare them. There's just no comparison to that. Okay, so this power is working in Paul and Paul's work. So if, when we look at the situation that Paul was in, and what he had to do and what he was needed to do, then, and the things that we do, all of ours are all laid out for us here. It's the matter of being able to do the time and to meet these people that we might give them a chance to understand about the mystery and to understand that they might have been chosen from before age times. And all these works are directed, Jack says, toward the saints to bring them into the mystery and enable their growth in Christ. And it says, see 1 Timothy 4:10 and Philippians 1:27. And we're going to do that before we go on to the next verse, get into chapter 2. Okay. First off, we'll do Philippians first. Philippians 1:27, it's on page 1775, and it's not that far back. Philippians 1:27. Okay. It says this, Philippians 1:27 says, only Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Full stop. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now remember what that verse says, because it's kind of going to come up in other places in chapter 2. But let's go back and let's look, let's go forward on toward the end of the Bible and go to 1 Timothy 4:10. That's on page 1804 if you have a companion Bible. And I'm supposed to have it marked out. Take me a minute to find it. Here we go. 1804. Okay, I got 1804 and verse 27. Wait a minute. First Timothy 4, I'm sorry. 4:10. Okay, I get there in a minute. 1 Timothy 4:10 says this. Well, look at 9. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. To have in your command and to teach those things. Okay, so that finishes up chapter 1. And we're going to go to chapter 1 of verse of chapter 2. And he carries this theme on. Let me get back to my Colossians thing. I took my thing out of it where I mark it off and laid it out here somewhere. So I need to put me a bookmark back there. It says, Colossians 2:1 says this, for I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now, the Apostle Paul, and let's keep this in mind, the Apostle Paul evidently had never been to Colossians. But he had a friend that often came to where he was and got under the hearing of Paul's teaching, and his name was Epaphras. And he was a Colossian. And so Paul learns what he learns about these people from him. And then Epaphras goes back to the Colossians and tells them what he learned from Paul. And you see, there wasn't any Facebooks. There wasn't anything.
Yeah, go-between, yeah.
There wasn't. That was just the go-between between the two. And it had to be face-to-face. But Paul has never been face to face with these people. And so in verse 1 that I've just read you, I'm going to read my notes in that. And it says, for I would or I desire or want you to know. that you knew what great conflict, and that it, the word there is Agon Azomai, and it means fight or the fight of faith I have for you. So
where we get our word agony.
Yeah, he's agonizing over them because he's not there with them. He can't see it. The go-between is good, but that's as good as they had at that time. That I have for you and them at Laodicea, because Paul had been to Laodicea in Acts. And it says, and for as many as have not seen. And here's his face. The object there is to look upon my face. You haven't been able to look upon my face, and I haven't been able to look upon your face in the flesh. And this is the subject here, the subject of verse 1. So there's one verse of scripture here that goes along with this, and this is in Revelation, and it's chapter 3 and verse 14. And it's on page 1888. Revelations. I'm at 1886, so let me go one more page. 1880, it's 314. Says this. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So this is to one of the churches, one of the seven churches that it mentions early on in Revelations. That it mentions there in my notes. I don't think that, Jack did mention it. And so, to go back to the Koine Greek in chapter 2, verse 1, it reads this way. I wish for you to know how great conflict I have over you and those in Laodicea and as many not have seen my face in the flesh. And then they bring it down to the latter English, and it says, I wish for you to know how great conflict I have over you and those in Laodicea and as many as have not seen my face in flesh. And so Jack says this, Paul strives in his heart and prayers for the people in Colossae and Laodicea. And Laodicea has a meaning, and it means justice of the people. The city in question was about 40 miles east of Colossae. So he was close, but he had not been to Colossae, evidently. Indications are that Paul did not know personally the people of either city. This may have contributed to the striving he had in his heart for these people's acknowledging of him. And so there it says, see Revelations 3:14. So that's where I went to with that, because I got it from what Jack had said there. So he was talking about, he agonized over these things, just the conflict that he had for them. And it was, you know, nothing that he had stirred up over there because he had not been there, but he was hearing how they grabbed a hold of this understanding and grabbed a hold of these things that had been preached to them. And it warmed his heart, I'm sure, with these things. Now, verse 2 is a little longer than some of the other verses, but I've got a lot of notes here, and I'm going to read you what's in the King James Version. Verse 2 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So, a pretty good mouthful in that verse of scripture. It's not going to take as long to go through this as it took to go through 1:16, but let's just read the notes and you'll see what's being put forth here, and that it might give you a little better key on the whole verse. That, or in order that, their hearts might be comforted. And comforted there is parakaleo. And that means to call aside, to appeal with comfort and instructions. And certainly that is what needs to be in our hearts and minds when we meet people 2,000 years or close to it after this is written, that we don't know very much about either. So sometimes we do. He says, being knit together. And that being knit together in my mind was to be interwoven as people would knit clothing. I'm no knitter, but I've seen it done. And I never understood how they got all these things looped in together that made something to wear that would last on and on. Beyond me. But I'll just put it the way I see it there into interwoven saint to saint. Because if you have a group that you can meet with or talk with or sit down with, and I love these conferences because this is the knitting together of saints that I feel like that is very necessary that we learn from each other as well as learn from the Word. Now, you know, you can't exchange the Word and just hear from these other people, because you need to look at it and you need to read it and to decide for yourself whether what's been said is true. Amen. But yet, this knit together has a lot of authority there. This being woven saint to saint in love and unto all riches. Well, what is these riches? We keep coming up and talking about the riches of God. Well, the Godhead owns everything. So you can't get any richer than that.
Yeah.
And what you have and what I have accumulated is because of being allowed to understand.
Gunther puts
and to
that
get
good.
This.
Gunther has a good way of putting that. It's like, none of this stuff is ours. The Lord just let us use it for
a while. Yeah, it's, you know, it's given to us like it's like free rent, but you know it's really not that. But it's in turn, when we look at it, what we look at it is the earthly thing. But there's a lot of people that makes a lot of money and never knows God, and never gives God any credit for that. The all riches. Okay, now, the all riches here, I had to stop and do a little searching with this. And I did about a day's worth of searching. And that's where a teacher probably gets a lot more out of this than the one that's giving the lesson. He seemingly gets a lot more out of it than the others might get, because you get in more involved in it. This includes Christ's redemption, the buying back, or paying for our sin debt, because he didn't have no sin. So Christ in human form, when he was 30 years old and he started his ministry, and he went through that for 3 years, and they hung him on a cross to pay for our sin debt, our transgressions.
The sinless for the sinful.
Okay. Well, what was that price? What did it cost him? Well, it was his blood. You know, the things that were slaughtered under the law, where you had to put your hand on the animal and take it to the high priest, and then he killed the animal, and that blood was put on the altar for us, was for a year. Though when Christ went into the heavenlies, and he did it, and God took his humanity away, when he gave his blood, God took his humanity away and gave him back what he had laid down.
Yep. John 17, he says, "Restore unto me the glory that I had when I was with thee."
Yes. Okay. So here we go. The buying back, the paying for our sin debt, our transgressions. What was that price? It was his blood. And he talks about of the full assurance. Well, what? With that blood now, that price of that blood and that payment, it was of the full assurance. It was the guarantee of the promised hope and faith of understanding, and that word understanding is synesis, the capacity to apprehend or to grab a hold to, or to have a grab a hold on by reflective thought and wisdom. And that wisdom there is the word Sophia. Gives us productive thoughts to the acknowledgement the precise further knowledge by experience that we can learn the mystery of God, the sacred secret hidden only in the Godhead, and of the Father, and even of Christ. But in the King James Version, even was not there. But in the notes, even was there, that we might understand that we might come to that. Now, when I started my wisdom study, I agonized myself over that somewhat, because wisdom is that of the mind. And I said there was two different kinds of wisdom. There was the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of man can take you to many different avenues of things you might need or you might not need. But the wisdom of God is why God has left us with His Word. And His Word tells us that we have to get that mind, or that wise part of us, that knowledge aspect of who we are, in line with our heart. And I didn't know your heart. Understand the wisdom, but your heart and mind needs to be as one. They need to be married, if you want to put it that way. You know, because you can't have one in opposition to the other. It doesn't work well. And in the earthly aspect of this, that's what we call a divorce. And a lot of times, we choose somebody as a mate and then try to change him. Well, that doesn't work out real good every time either, because a lot of people don't want to change. So we need to be careful as a young person, thinking we know everything and we don't, and choose somebody for the wrong reasons. And that's the way that works out. But here, if you follow God's instructions to God's plan and deal with it in that light of what God wants and what God needs in our lives, then it'll work out. It'll be okay. But here we are. In verse 2 of Koine Greek, that may be encouraged, the heart of them joining together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of the understanding, unto acknowledgement of the mystery of the God Christ. Gee.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
That makes a lot of sense now that we've looked at both of them, both ways. That the hearts of them may be encouraged, joining together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding unto the acknowledgement of the mystery of the Christ God. And so Jack's note says this: Paul wishes the Laodiceans and Colossians to be encouraged by each other in love. These believers are to be expecting riches, not perishable riches, but the riches of understanding. This is my thought again, they need to get their heart and mind as one. The understanding and increasing acknowledgement of the mystery will enrich them in his truths of the mystery. They are not to have doubts, but to have full assurance. The riches understanding is very appropriate. No moth, no rust will corrupt their riches. Their growing riches will abide for the length of God's will. Note again, Christ is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three persons in one being, the same being. This is not a multiplicity of gods or godly forms. And so there's no notes that goes with this verse of scripture that Jack has left, but I've got some. And these are my notes that we need to look at now. And having looked at some of these things, I said, well, Jack didn't put any notes in this verse of scripture, but they really need, in my mind, need to be there as for my use, if not anyone else's. But let's do this. Let's look at two or three places. We're going to look at two places. We're going to look at Ephesians 1 again. Everybody knows where Ephesians is. And the first chapter is not hard to come by. It's on page 1760 if you have a companion Bible. And verse 7 says this, and this is getting right down to the root of the matter here. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There was a lot said, boy, in the Ephesians. Now I'm going to tell you, it was laid out very well in Ephesians 1. But then, you know, Paul did a book way toward the back of the Bible, and it's called Hebrews. And we need to go to Hebrews and look two places in Hebrews. And first one is chapter 6. And I get there in just a minute. Okay, here we are. Chapter 6. And we're going to do verse 11 here in chapter 6 of Hebrews. Hebrews 6, 11, 1831 is the page. And it says, and we desire, and this is Paul writing here to the Hebrews, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, full stop. So he's telling these youngsters, he's telling these younger people, these Hebrew people that had kind of left off teaching God's word anywhere, and Paul says, you need somebody to teach you, and I'm here. Here I am. So let's go to Hebrews 10 and do a little more of what he did. Okay. So in Hebrews 10, which is on page 1838, and we're going to look at 10:22 and 23. It says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. So our hope is built upon promises that we haven't got yet, to some extent. But we will get it. And He was looking right down the barrel of the faith chapter when he wrote this. So he's giving him a little commencement or a little beginning of this faith chapter right here. He's getting them ready for the faith chapter where it talks about the faith, the substance hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And they were really needing that too. And so when you go back and you look at verse 2 of Colossians 2, it kind of gives you the understanding of the things that he's talking about here. Their heart comforted and their knowledge being given to them to where they can understand this and the redemption, the buying back, and paying for our transgressions and paying the price for it. And it was by his blood, and we have the guarantee of the hope and faith. And that's the faith of Christ, not our faith. But it's the faith of Christ that did the work that was promised before he ever created anything. And so it you know, it goes all the way back in thought to the things that we need to understand and know if we're going to be able to tell others about this mystery of God, because it didn't start in AD 60. It was just given to us around AD 60 and laid on the back of the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
But it started aeons ago. We don't know how far back that goes. But you and I run down to the filling station and fill our vehicles up with fuel that we call fossil fuel. Put under great pressure for long periods of time, and it changed it. But we still have to change it again before we can use it, because it generally comes out as oil. And we change it into things that we can use. But you see, God knew we needed that, and we didn't know much about it till about 120 years ago. We didn't have much use for that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Lord, look where it's took us now. Look where it's took us now. Because a lot of times, I'm gonna tell you a little something. The word all in Scripture might not always be olive oil, but we get little hints of things. And one of the hints there was when Abraham had this experience with his handmaid to get a son. God had promised him a son, and Abraham and Sarah talked it over. So Sarah said, well, I'll give you my handmaid. You can get a son with her. And so he didn't want this young man growing up with the son that was to come, that was Isaac. He didn't want him with him. So when Sarah did have a son, then the handmaid's son was expendable. And so he put the handmaid and the son out in the desert to find their own way, but he says, out of him I will make princes.
Yeah,
I'll make princes out of them. And those 10 princes that he had, those 10 boys that he had, still controls the greater amount of OPEC even to this day. because they got the oil. They got the greater part of the oil that's in the world. And we've been buying it from them for ever since we had cars. And so we're still dealing with that. So it didn't say oil, but when he made princes out of them, they had to have some way to make a living out in that sandy place where he was going to send them off to, the desert. And guess what? Under that place was vast amounts of oil for them to buy the stuff they needed to live on. And so sometimes we don't think about these things when we talk about them and read about them. Okay, enough history lessons here. Let's go back to Colossians again and look at verse 3 of chapter 2. And verse 3 says this. With that long verse that we did, then the next verse, chapter 3, is a short verse. But it says, talking about the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. In verse 2, in verse 3 it says, in whom? So this is the in whom of verse 2. The mystery of God, the Father, and of Christ, in whom, in them, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hey, they were the fabricators. They were the creators of what we have. It was cut and carved out of the sun. The sun put it together. Where we live, what we have, everything is here for us. And so we've had it ever since God said, let us create man in our image. 4004 B.C. 4004 B.C. And so it was in the Godhead at the time. It was held in store. Let's just read it again. In whom are hid, held in store, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, you say wisdom and knowledge is the same thing. Not really.
Nope, not even close.
Huh?
Not even close.
No. Wisdom is having the understanding that it's there. But the knowledge is knowing how to use it and how to get from it what was expected of man to do with it. Now that's the simple. That's the simplicity of this verse. I've got it right down to the simplest of terms. Now there's more to it than that. But I'm leaving it to you to get the greater part of that. Because, you know, if you go to college and you get accepted to a college, well, you go in and they're going to ask you to choose a
major.
What do they call it?
Major.
Major, yeah. And so whatever it is that you desire to know of, they've got somebody there to give you that wisdom of that, and some knowledge is to how it works. You may not get all that knowledge. You may have to do that by experiential parts of it. But at least what that teacher is going to give you is something that you don't, you might know a little of, but you don't fully understand. And so that's why we send our kids to school. Because most kids, if you ask them, they say, well, mom and dad's old footy duddies, they're not really with it, you know.
And so, don't know much.
Here we are. And this is the reason a lot of times that our own children sometimes will not accept this understanding that Paul has been given here. But it might take somebody else that they're not really close to get them to understand it.
Amen.
I went to church for 33 years off and on, several different kinds of churches, because Grandpa was a preacher. I went to where he went for a while, and then there was churches in the area that where I lived. I could walk to church, and I walked to church sometimes. I went to all these things, but I was 33 years old before somebody came along with this understanding that I was supposed to get. And it was Lori's dad. And after he was there for 3 or 4 sermons, I said, I looked around at Bobby Ann, my wife, where's this man been all my life?
Yep.
Well, he was there because God sent him there. And he was there partly for my being. Because I was not a Christian when he came there. I was a pretty good guy, but I had my faults like everybody else did, but still. So here we are. And we got to having talks about it, and I come around to the knowledge of the truth, and riding home one day from a ball game, by myself in a car, I said, Lord, I believe this. I believe you. Use me. Use me. And he did. But it took a while. But
yeah.
I was a little rough. But I go back now and look at the people in the Bible that the Lord shows himself. Fishermen and other people, and I said, well, I guess I fit right in.
Don't feel out of place.
And so it wasn't long, and I never considered, I never liked to get up before the class and do a lot of talking, but, you know, here I am, 50 years later. Or it will be 50 years on the 16th day of August.
Wow.
50 years, 1971. I can tell you the time, I can tell you the day. But I wasn't on my knees, I was in a car driving down the road. And I don't really know how I made it home, but I did. It was the Holy Spirit that did that. So the indwelling Spirit can certainly ride in a person in an old Ford
pickup truck,
station wagon.
No.
That had been wrecked on one side. And I didn't wreck it, but that was the way it was. In whom are hidden all the treasures from the wisdom and knowledge? Verse 3. Okay. Looking at it, talking about these things are hid. in store, all the treasure or the all things. Now, we've seen this in Philippians. We've seen it in Ephesians, and we've seen it in other scripture too, because the all things seems to show up quite often. And that's what it really means. The all things really means all things. They're all His. All things. And of wisdom and knowledge. Turn with me. Well, let's see what Jack said about verse 3. It says in the Koine, in whom are all the treasures? See, so all the treasures are in the Godhead. Of wisdom and knowledge hid. And whenever they choose to reveal it, that's when we got it. They didn't come any sooner than they wanted it to or any later. Now, for each individual of us, now it's, you know, it's an experience that we need to acknowledge and need to thank God for it. He said, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but graciously, these treasures are available for the most humble member of His body, unlike the proud Gnostics, who gloried in the pseudo positions of hierophants. And Gnostics presumed that they had been entrusted by the higher power with depth of wisdom. But who can be closer or more than one who is positioned under the one and only head, Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Now you think about that a minute. These people that think they know everything, they have all the knowledge, but if you're positioned in the body of Christ, you're under the head. Amen. In Him alone are treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians 2 and Romans 11 there. And 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8 on page 1699. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 2, 1699. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, I said, verses 7 and 8. It says this, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In 1 Corinthians, yep. We speak the word, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery which God ordained before the world unto our glory, full stop. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known of it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Oh. Well, they might have thought about that a few minutes before they done that, right? Yeah. I said, okay, the second one was in Romans 11. Let's go back a few pages to Romans 11. And that's on 1685. We're going to look at 1133. Okay. And part of it's on one page and part of it's on another. Okay, Romans 11:33 in the companion Bible, it goes part of it's on one page and part of it on. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." That's Romans 11:33. Both of wisdom and knowledge of God. And unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. If we don't get them from him, we don't get them. How much time we got left, Ronnie?
It's 9:35.
Well, we've gone over. Okay, so.
Yeah, you was on a roll that last verse, so I was
looking. We'll end up with three there, but, you know, 1, 2, and 3 has been what I call, very pregnant verses. They come with expectations. And because there's a lot of information there that needs to be brought out and needs to be put forth.
So about that, them in Colossians.
You know, that's the way it is. And so we'll pick up with verse 4 and 5 next time and go on from there. But, so we did 4 verses tonight and 2. Chapter 2 was, verse 2 was, it was one that needed some thought there, and I put a little more thought in it than it normally shows, but nevertheless, it's good to do that when the possibilities are there of understanding is there.
Amen.
So, thank you, folks, and God bless you, and we've enjoyed sitting and doing this and being able to take a little break from what we've been doing in our yard and getting back into God's Word to some extent. And it's been a blessing to me. God bless you. And, pray for our other saints that need our prayers.
Amen.
And remember them. And, thank you for being with me for this hour.